Have you ordered a pizza? Has it not arrived yet? You could be entitled to punitive and compensatory damages up to $5 million. At Young & High, we specialize in cases of extreme snack delay. Our attorneys have a combined 60 years' experience in helping victims of dilatory foodstuff syndrome get the restitution and justice they deserve. And we don't get a slice unless you do.
Oh, God, that's good.
Call the attorneys at Young & High right now, because after all, it's been like 45 minutes, am I right? What the fuck? Call now.
Everyone loves marijuana butter, but who has time to make it? All the mixing. Melting. Pouring. Giggling? Hi, I'm paid actress Mary Fakanami, and this is the Bud Butter Buddy, the revolutionary invention that makes making marijuana butter more good. Look to right. With the Bud Butter Buddy, all you have to do is add butter and cannabis. The secret is our ON button, which activates the machine using the very electricity flowing through the walls of your home. Then kick back, light up a joint, and forget it for 30 minutes. What the fuck? The butter! The Bud Butter Buddy, available at these crappy-ass stores.
Looking for a revolutionary shaving experience? Try Canafoam, the first ever cannabis-infused shaving cream. Canafoam's unique blend of emollients, moisturizers, and THC transforms your straight, rigid, inflexible facial hair into docile, tranquil strands of compliance double, 2 days to offer resistance to the blade. Shave with the grain, against the grain, or just tell the hair there's something cool you saw in the sink.
Let's go!
You'll be rewarded with the closest shave you've ever had.
Sexy.
God, you touched my face.
Canafoam. Available wherever cannabis shaving products are sold.
All right, we're back here live in studio. It's past the top of the hour. Yay. What are you getting ready for rain?
Yeah.
Freezing.
You're freezing.
So cold.
Yeah, so you put on your hood because you're it's gonna help.
Red Riding Hood.
Yeah, little red
ears.
Little ride. Little red ridden hood.
Watch out for the wolf out there, okay?
Yeah.
Renaissance.
Yeah, he's huffing and he's puffing, all right. Watch out for that wolf.
You gotta get to grandma's house before he gets you.
Yeah.
No worries.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let me see here. I think we're still dead in the water, but, you know, that's why we're recording this podcast, so you guys can listen to it later, or we can. Somebody can listen to it later.
Somebody can hear
and
us again.
You can check to make sure she gets home okay. Doesn't get eaten by the wolf.
Yeah, it doesn't get eaten by the wolf, yeah. Little red wagon. That's a whole different story for a whole different day. So we're getting ready for the 420 shout out with Patrick Carlin around the corner. Well, kind of. We've got...
I could run around the block.
You could?
No. It's too cold out there.
Let's see.
No,
we'll
no.
put it on YouTube. We'll post it on
it's too
Facebook.
Cold. When I leave this building, it's going straight to my car to turn on a heater.
Yeah, that would be nice to have in the studio. It would be nice to have a nice little space heater in here. But I'm thinking that would suck up some major dollars.
Yeah, it would.
And we're talking about dollars already, pennies and cents and stuff like here at the studio. I feel like this has been more of a telethon or an intervention for the studio than it's been a podcast for us.
Mm. Well,
as we sit here, stand
sometimes
here.
Sometimes it happens that way.
Yes, it does. As we hold together the studio by my hand. See how I'm holding it? I'm holding it together.
Were they supposed to call in or something?
Who?
Grandma and Grandpa?
No.
No.
Oh, that they were.
No, no, no. Last year, we tried that. Didn't work out very well. Do you remember what happened last year? We finally got Grandpa. Who the hell is it?
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Click. Hello.
Well, hopefully they go.
And he's already called me like twice or three times during the show. He'll ring like three times and then he'll hang up.
Hopefully he gets.
I think they're probably listening that we have dead air, and they're probably trying to get a hold of us, getting to let us know. Hey, by the way, your station's not working.
Maybe Patrick will come and get them, and so they can go hang out together.
Yeah, I doubt it. Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? But yeah, Grandpa's birthday. Happy birthday, Grandpa.
I wouldn't want to be stuck at home all day.
No. I'm pretty sure they're going to do something. At the very least, they'll go eat something.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Somewhere.
Somewhere. All right, guys. Let me see here. I know we got Patrick. I know. Wow. I'm really just trying to get this thing to stay. Stay, microphone.
It's falling towards you.
It's just falling.
It likes you.
Yeah, yeah. Jeez. I had to lean. This is the, you should take a position. Take a picture of my position in this thing and post it. This is kind of sad. I feel like I'm hunched over. No wonder I've got this big old hump on my back.
Hunchback?
I feel like it.
You're like that lady that we saw at Panda the other day.
Oh, should I really lean in? The worst thing is even my glasses aren't working properly anymore, so I don't know if it's because I don't know if it's because they're dirty or my eyes are not working as well as they were before.
I don't know.
In other words, do I need a new prescription? Which is sad. Which could be. Totally. Totally could be. So we got to think of something nice to play for Patrick in about 5 minutes. We're going to go to the 420 shout out. Or at least the musical break. The musical break for the 420 shout out. That's what we'll be going to.
What's
and then,
on that CD?
What is on that CD? A lot of stuff. I'll grab it. I will grab it and start looking. As long as you start talking.
Oh, that's not fair.
Yeah.
I'm not good at that. Well, not things that other people want to hear, at least. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, so now I'm back.
I think
there.
This, the first song you played today was probably one of the first Rush songs I ever went, oh, I really like this song.
Yeah, I said, that was the first song I remember.
Yeah.
It was Tom Sawyer.
Yeah. I think that might have been the first song I heard from them, too.
I think it was definitely all the stuff from Moving Pictures. That whole album was like a big album. And whatever year that was, we should ask Siri.
You could ask Siri.
Hey, this should be a new segment. New segment on the edge is let's ask Siri. And hopefully Siri has a good answer for us. All right. It's time to let's ask Siri. Hey, Siri. Hey, Siri. When was the album Moving Pictures released?
Moving Pictures, remastered by Rush, was released on February 12, 1981.
I was going to say 82, and that would have been over a year. So there you go.
February 12th. So in 1 month from now, but 81. Wow. 39 years.
Wow. So there you go. So that's what I remember. So if it was 39 years ago, 49 years ago, so I was 13. So that's junior high. Rush and but that was the cooler of the things, because stuff prior to that for me was things like that's helpful.
No, go ahead.
Things like that were like I was listening to before that, I think, were like REO Speedwagon and Styx, and you know, there was other stuff on there too. I guess there was some, but I guess that was kind of where I started to change and get older. and stop getting so poppy and start getting more hard rock like Zeppelin and Rush and stuff like that. And that was the first of progressive rock. That and Yes, I remember. Okay, so which one were you talking about?
Oh, Manhattan.
The Manhattan Project. Okay. I don't know
just
how long that...
Just Manhattan.
Oh, okay. Oh, jeez.
Oh, look at that. That was fun to watch.
Yeah, no, the whole thing is held together by tape and toilet paper. I don't even know what song that is, but we will find out. So how long is that? I have no idea. So I guess we can play that, at least part of that, in about a minute.
I'll look it up. I think. We want to find out how long it runs?
Yes. 5 minutes, 32 seconds, my guess.
Let us see. Well, the YouTube video is shorter than that, but not by much.
So that means we better start this now.
5:05.
Aha! So introduce the song.
Released in 1985.
Oh, wait, what track was that? Darn it.
I don't know. Honey.
I know. That was silly, wasn't it?
Yeah, just a little silly.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, so released in what year?
1985.
What's the name of the song?
October.
Okay.
Manhattan Project by Rush.
Nation, always eager to explore.
right, there's the Manhattan Project here on the Edge. We're going straight to the phone line. It is 420 on the right coast. As far as I'm concerned, it is 420 on the left coast. Joining us usually live from WDST in upstate New York, but right now he's chilling somewhere. I hope he's not chilling, like freezing over somewhere in the deep, deep woods of Woodstock. Give it up for our boy Patrick Harlan, everybody. What's happening, Patrick?
How you doing? Who you got there today?
Right now, it's Christine and I. Brandon went out to get something warm to drink because it's cold.
You guys are cold out there?
Yeah, we're flipping cold, which this isn't cold for you. This is a walk in the park for you. This is cold for us, or cold for me.
You know, us wussies that are used to 70-degree weather don't like this 50 and below.
That's all right. I'm with you guys. I don't like it cold. It just happens up here now and then. But I got to tell you that right now, this week, they had a couple of days like 60 and 62 down in New York City, and so it's really freaky. But the cold is coming right back in again, so that's that, you know.
Right.
And, well, what the hell? You wait for winter and you count the days till spring, and then you see what's happening. Are you guys doing anything special out there?
No, right now we just finished watching, so we have the performance space. They just had our station meeting for the month, and so they were out there doing that. And we were just sitting here because our station was down for a little bit, like the live broadcast was down for a little bit, and then we got it back, and then we lost all internet connection inside the studio, so everybody was using their device.
Oh, wow.
And
primitive.
So, yeah, it was very primitive. I mean, we almost forgot what fire was, and unga.
Yeah.
So it was kind of crazy.
I love when things get basic.
Don't you? It kind of reminds you, you know, it's great when you have to go remember, when you have to do the little things, like, hey, what's so-and-so's phone number?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And they go, wait, well, it's sure. In my phone. Well, your phone doesn't work. Your phone isn't here. Your phone's got a broken screen. Your phone is loading.
Your phone is not very smart.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of these devices have taken over for us. But yeah, you got to keep that. Got to keep that mind sharp, though, right?
Well, the more you use a pen and a pad and stuff and primitive shit, it's supposed to be good for those whatever they are that talk to each other up in your brain. Synapses and all these things. And you can't rely on Google. When you want to come up with that person's name, you got to just torture your brain for it.
Well, then you dismissed our segment. You dismissed our segment. Right before we went into it, we actually just played a song by Rush, which is from the drummer just passed away a couple days ago, Neil Peart from Rush.
Yeah.
And so we just played that song for you, the Manhattan Project by them. But then it's funny because... where was I going with this, damn it? What was my point?
I'm trying to come up with people's names.
Oh, yeah. So what we did is our segment right before that is I asked Suri what was the album. When was that album out? And I guessed 82, and Suri confirmed it was 1981.
So
it's good to make the guess, but then you want to have somebody actually... You actually have to have somebody who knows what the fuck they're saying and actually...
And you got to get a name. I was over at the Ramble the other night at Levon's.
Right.
And there was a man and a lady sitting next to me, and they were talking to me and stuff. And I'm talking with them, and, you know, you say, oh, good guitar, and that, you know, stuff like that. And I look at this guy, I said, Jesus Christ. I said, this guy looks like this fucking actor. And I couldn't think of the fucking actor's name. And the things that are going through my mind, I'm saying, he always had a wholesome part.
Right.
He was always a wholesome dude.
Right.
And, huh?
Yeah, you can always kind of do that. You're like, oh, he always plays a cop. Or he always plays a bad guy.
He was always wholesome. And he was really what you would call, like, if I was a chick, I would say, gee, that's a handsome guy.
Right.
And I'm looking and looking and I'm saying, motherfucker.
What is it? What is it? Where is he from?
Trip? And I thought, I even came up with a movie, Roadhouse.
Oh, so
the
Patrick
original
Swayze?
Roadhouse.
Oh, not that second, Patrick Swayze, okay.
Not that second piece of shit that they made. That was just shit.
You're talking about the old Roadhouse from like the 60s?
I'm talking about Ida Lupino and Richard Widmark.
Right.
And the chick, she don't sing again. She just gets up and rasps it out, you know. And the good dude who she's dating, who really likes her, finally I got the name Cornell Wilde.
Oh, there you go.
And I thought, oh, thank you, Mr. Brain. But it took until I got home.
Well, sometimes it will do that. And it's funny, as soon as you kind of let it go, sometimes as soon as you stop stressing on it, it just pops right up. Right. I could wake up in the middle of the night and go, Cornell Wilde! And be like, what the fuck happened?
Oh, yeah.
What the hell was that?
That happens.
So.
Oh, you bet your ass that happens. And it's a wonderful thing. I'm intrigued with Mr. Brain. I'm finally discovering him. After all these years of being a fuck-off, I'm finally realizing that he's there. And he's always on duty, even when you're busy fucking off. He's thinking and he's doing shit. So I'm happy with Mr. Brain.
So let's do that. That was what did you say? It was a 1948 film. So here's a little. Let's jump right into this here. Let's go a little bit further. Let's go a minute.
This girl was noir.
Here we go.
Always a long time. Glad to know you, Lil.
Same here, Sam.
What'll it be?
Scotch.
Soda?
Straight. Got a cigarette?
Yeah, sure.
Well, that's quite a deal you've got here, huh?
Yeah, nice bunch.
Autumn's up.
She's drinking to the moose on the wall.
Oh, yeah. She was a tough baby.
Yeah, she looks like it. She lit up a cigarette, and she does a shot, and she looks up at the moose on the wall and goes, this one's to you, kid, or whatever.
Oh, yeah. And you want to talk noir. When she was in They Drive By Night with Humphrey Bogart and them, she told the guy she loved, she said, I murdered my husband for you. I killed my husband for you.
That's Ida Lupino, or who's that? Is that Ida Lupino, or who is that?
Ida Lupino.
Okay.
I can't think noir without thinking of her and Gloria Graham.
And then... So that's funny. Now I was going to go, hey, we're going to start playing your playlist, but we're going to start looking at stuff like...
Again.
Wow, she's got those eyes. Gloria Graham.
Oh, killer.
Look at those.
Killer.
Wow, that's something telling you.
She's a girl. This girl could act like a motherfucker.
Here she is. Here's a little tease of her, guys. This is Gloria Graham in her eyes. It's not so easy. Wait, hold on. Let's get it a little bit further ahead. Here you go.
Good afternoon, Mr. Bailey.
Hello, Violet.
This is from...
That's some dress you got on there.
This is her from It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, sure.
Violet. And then, clearly having a
let's see what else she's got. I want something else. I want something. Oh, yeah, right before she kisses Bogart. Here we go.
Let me add, I also know what I don't want, and I don't want to be rushed.
Two people chewed up and spit out by the post-war film industry. Their connection is fueled by genuine desperation for a human connection.
And this person's talking over this. This isn't fun. All right, cool. But, yeah, she's a knockout, boy.
Oh, yeah, a real true actress, man.
Yeah, film noir, man. That was a good little genre. That's something that's still kind of that improvers do today. That's something that people still try to adopt. Yeah, it's one of those styles that's kind of it lives on. It's like a Western. It's like a you know, nowadays it's the rom-com, I guess.
Oh, yeah, she could look at you and you knew she was a hard baby and you better not fuck with her. You get hurt.
What's this one called? An Ace in the Hole with Gloria Graham.
Oh, that's another tough girl.
Yeah, so let me see here. But no, I mean, yeah, so, okay. I don't know how we got stuck on film.
Hey, you know the Manhattan Project?
Yes.
That
you mean
was
the movie?
Cuban Laboratories at Columbia University where they made the atomic bomb.
Right.
And it was called the Manhattan Project, and we used to break in there all the time. We were kids, yeah. I stole a bottle of mercury from there, Quicksilver.
Oh, that's a good little thing to be hanging out with, is a little bit of mercury on the corner.
Jeez. Oh, we had a gang of it. We gave it to all the kids. You'd put it in those little match boxes, and you could put it in little capsules and make, like, Mexican jumping beans out of it. We all got played with that mercury, and we didn't know it was poison and shit.
That it was radioactive, yeah. And, jeez.
Yeah, we were strange fucking kids, man. If we saw something, we fucking stole it. If we couldn't steal it, we'd fucking wreck it.
Well, and as kids, yeah. You have no, there's, you know, you just kind of do things. You have no inhibitions. Yeah. You just kind of go for things, and it's
absolutely.
And then there's and there's sometimes there's no fear, right?
Oh, we didn't have fear. No, we were fearless. We all gonna live forever.
It's like after you start having kids, as you get older, once you have kids, you get married, people depend on you. That's when fear enters the equation. Or that's when doubt, or that one's caution, you know, when you start throwing caution to the wind or whatever you want to say. So you kind of get it as you get older.
You get a little more sensible as time goes by.
You do. You really do.
If you're allowed to survive.
If you're allowed to survive, yeah. Maybe you're one of those people that never, you know, thought they were going to see
their... Some survive and some don't.
Right. And some were, I don't think, ever destined to. And if they were today, they talk about, you know, if Elvis was alive today, he'd be working as a cashier at a 7-Eleven. No, he wouldn't be.
No, I doubt that very fucking much, man.
He'd be not... You know, even someone they talk about, even just bad people. What about the bad people say they say survived? Look at Hitler. They said Hitler lived until whatever his 80s in Argentina or something, possibly.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, no, people, man, these people died. They died.
Yeah,
nobody faked
right.
their death. Or what was the most famous person? The most famous person I can think of that ever faked their death was, wasn't it Howard Hughes? Didn't he fake his death at one point?
Oh, I don't know. That would be a wonderful story. Yeah.
I think that was like in the 70s. He actually faked his death for a while. And then when he finally did die, there was speculation if he had actually really died. And they're like, yeah,
well, sure,
he died.
After you fake it, no one's ever going to believe it when you really go.
Yeah, what do they call that? A little boy blue syndrome or whatever, right?
Yes, yes.
Come blow your horn, funny. Watch out. Right, or the Chicken Little syndrome. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. Where? What?
Yeah,
what?
The wolf. Or the wolf.
Oh, the Peter and the wolf.
Yeah.
Wow. So there's a lot of those examples when we think of things like that.
Yeah, you come down with one of those things and it's a phony trip. No one's ever going to believe you again.
Right. So
you
I guess
don't
it's.
Make a shit.
I think it's a good thing, maybe, yeah, not to bullshit unless everybody knows you're bullshitting. Hey, that's what I like about being an entertainer is every time I go on stage, I can do what the fuck I want. I could do something totally different than I did last time and totally different than what I'm going to do the next time.
Oh, yeah, because it's you.
Right, and then it's not me, but it's you. It's
somebody's up there telling your shit, man.
Well, no.
How
so
you
the
see it.
Right, I do. I tell jokes like that, but then there's also times where you go up and you kind of you take on a character. Your brother did that very well. He would take on people that emulated. First, it was emulating people like Danny Kaye and stuff, and then it was emulating people in the neighborhood and family members and stuff like that.
That was his earliest trip.
Right.
That was his street corner antics and shit like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of spurred the whole notion of we got to get this boy a tape recorder.
Yeah, and then you get to a certain point where you get like to be a Frank Gorshin or something. And you really can do those characters and really look like the guy you're doing and all. Or you get over to the other side where George was and he just began being himself. But going into occasional voice things, if he'd say, well, there's the New York accent like this and the New York cop. And then there's the Italian guy who says, hey, what a set of jalomes on that chick. And, then where you're just doing it, but you're not doing the characters. Like,
well, I heard Eddie
Murphy doing the Italian guy. George broke me up with that, man.
Well, you know,
and I couldn't.
Yeah. There's certain ones that are way over the top, and you're just like, wow. And then there's certain ones like I don't know why I'm kind of going backwards, but I was watching an interview with Kim Novak today, and you know, famous.
I saw that. That was sad.
You know, about her paintings. Why did she pass too? I hope not. Did she pass, or what happened with her?
No, but it was the way to hear it. You know.
Well, okay.
What she had to put up with. And
yes.
All the different shit.
Yeah. So there was all the shit she had to put up with, and then she finally ended up leaving Hollywood. And
yeah.
She kind of left, you know, a beautiful starlet, probably on the top of her game, but ended up leaving and never looked back. She ended up having becoming a painter and an artist and stuff. But
yeah.
She had said they had asked her, you know, how much of that was really you back in those movies? How much of that was, you know, really did you portray of yourself? And she goes, well, it was 100% me, and then it was 0% me.
Yeah.
And so you kind of leave it all there, right? It's all for interpretation.
Well, it was awful, and it happens out there. They did it to writers like F. Scott Fitzgerald and different good novelists and shit. They'd get them out there to be screenwriters, and then they don't want what you're doing. They want shit.
Right, they want like with Kim Novak, she was like, I think when she said she was at her happiest is when she was working with someone like... with Hitchcock, because he actually brought out the best in her. But
yeah, and it was the same with Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn Monroe was an intellect. She was not a dumb bitch with a set of tits.
Right, but that,
she was
but
a
they,
fucking,
but they kind of that's what they that's where the money
that's what
was.
They made her do those trips and all, but she was a fucking intellect and well read and good background on different things. So it's a. You go to Hollywood, you go on their fucking terms. You say this is this and that's that, and it's going to be jive.
Well, okay, so I think what it is that you may go to Hollywood or you may go to success with a certain interpretation or a certain anticipation of what you're going to be. But when you get there, it's something different. Because it's kind of like you were saying before about that, what was that, Cornell, the actor?
Cornell Wilde.
So it was kind of like that. You were kind of like, all I remember is he plays a nice guy. So a
Mr.
lot of the time.
Wholesome.
But right. So a lot of the time when you go into Hollywood and then you're an actor, they typecast you.
Absolutely, that's you.
He's the heavy. He's always the heavy, or he's always the guy in the white hat, or he's always the romantic.
Yeah, Lawrence Tierney was talking about that.
Right.
He was always a bad motherfucker.
And then there's
Lawrence Tierney.
Right, and people can't get away from it. So
Public Enemy number one and shit like this, you know. And they don't know. They don't want to know the other thing. They want what's marketable. They like that menacing look that you do, Jim. Now, I want you to do that again in this one. And like the songwriters, you get a song done by a song publisher and shit like that, and the first thing they're going to tell you is, hey, write us another one like that, Jim. Write us another one like that. Not what have you got or what do you
do?
Yeah,
no, because that's what, because look at people like Neil Young. So I think of Neil Young when
Neil
you say
that.
Neil
does his own thing.
Neil
goes, the
yeah, they go, okay, Neil goes, okay, I just turned out this album and it's this. And here, let me do a 180 degree turn.
Yeah, because he's where he's at, not where you're at.
Exactly. And that's what made Neil Young, Neil Young. So same thing with nowadays, they try to do that. I'm going to look over to Brandon. A lot of the actors nowadays, or even a lot of the musicians, they get kind of stuck in what makes them famous. Like I'll give you an example, Brandon. We always talk about Ariana Grande.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of Ariana Grande's music is the same, right?
Pretty much.
I mean, you listen to it and you go, oh, that's a her song. That must be her.
It's a style.
It's a style, but it's also something that's marketable. It's something that somebody can put a value on, that somebody goes, okay, that's going to sell. That's not a waste of my time, effort, or distribution, or just my effort in general. So, I guess they're going for the safe thing. What's wrong with artists? They got to go for it. They got to stop going for the safe stuff. They got to just kind of...
Yeah, well, it's the ones who run their scene. Like, when Elvis got destroyed was when he started making those fucking movies.
Oh, yeah, all the Hollywood movies.
That was the
movies.
End of Elvis. If right. Elvis. If Elvis had gotten into reefer and wrote his own tunes.
So
as it would have come out.
So if you had a time, if you had a time machine, you would go back and smoke a joint and make sure that Elvis was stoned at whatever year it was, and you know. Okay.
Yeah, and put him hip to the jive. And say, listen, they're just doing this. It's another fucking movie, Elvis. It's a silly thing. They want you to move your hips around with the guitar and shit and drive Ann Margaret ape shit. It's meaningless. It's trite. It's no fucking story. Why don't you take 6 months and go back to fucking Tupelo and write some fucking tunes? Get with some of the guys and write some fucking tunes, Elvis. About how you feel.
Well, yeah, because that was all, that was somebody exploiting him, so wasn't that the kernel?
Yeah, that would, they give him what is exploitable, make him what will sell.
And
that's where the thing, write me another one of them.
Well, yeah.
I like that. So you got a song there. You got a fucking song there by Melanie from fucking way, way back in yesteryear. That tells exactly what happens. Look what they've done to my song, Mom. Look what they've done to my song. And, man, this girl tells, she ain't just talking about the songs. She's talking about what they do to every creative motherfucker that comes down their trail.
Look what they done to my song, Mom. Look what they done to my song. Well, it's the only thing that I could do half right, and it's turning out all wrong, Ma. Look what they done to my song. Look what they done to my brain, Ma. Look what they picked it like a chicken bone, and I think I'm half insane, Ma. Look what they done to my soul.
Thanks for making that go through the rest of my day.
This isn't that beautiful? Now she telling you, bro.
Yeah, no.
You're not making that shit up.
No, I know. That's
the big world.
So that's my problem. Okay, so I'm not successful yet, and I'm going to use the word yet. So when I become successful, I don't want to become successful for something that I'm going to hate. Like if I make up a character and it's some silly character I make up, because I don't do character. Anyway, if it's something simple I make up and I don't think it has any legs, but then that ends up being what I'm known for.
Oh, yeah, like Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, I think I would be like, okay, time out. gotta stop. I'd be more like your brother where I'd have to throw my material away every year.
Yeah, the other dude who gnashes the melons.
I have material that I've been using for years, but I think as soon as I made it successful, I wouldn't use any of that stuff again.
Yeah, don't use it anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, you end up...
Don't wait for it to be successful. Keep doing the new shit.
Well, I do. Okay, so don't get me wrong. Man. I do a lot of monologues, so a lot of my stuff is monologues.
That's where you're at.
Right. And so...
That's where I see you at.
And that's...
Just up there being you. You're a big motherfucker.
Right.
So you command, attention.
Yeah, people seem to, my voice seems to be booming enough that people kind of just, somebody's talking, be quiet.
Yeah, what this guy got to say.
Yeah, exactly. And so they shut up for at least a minute. And so, if you have something of value to say or something funny. So a lot of my hosting ability comes from I what they call deep dive. I end up going and figuring out what the audience is about so that when my first comedian comes up, he doesn't have to go, oh, this is a couple over here. Oh, this is a table that's a bachelorette table. Oh, these are a group of three guys from work. Oh, this is a couple out on their first date. I've already done all that.
Yeah.
I've already done all the investigative work for them already. So when they so they can go up there, focus on their material. If they want to incorporate any of those aspects, great. There it is.
Yeah.
Have a smorgasbord. Have at it. It's yours.
I like that. Yeah.
And then also the other thing is just establishing a connection with my audience. You know, a lot of the times when I'm hosting, I don't try to be. It's not about joke. again, it's about making that connection, but then making them laugh and getting them on your side. And then, anyway, that's where you flip into your different gears.
Oh, but, yeah.
But it's nice. It's nice to be able to do that. You don't have to do the same thing over and over again.
No, you just automatically know they're going to come along with what you got to say.
Right. And so I appreciate that. So I hope that when I do become successful, it's I guess, like you said, if you be true to yourself, you're always going to be happy.
They'll never be able to pin you down because they'll never know what the fuck you're going to talk about.
Right. You as you. You know, they can't pigeonhole you. They can't stereotype you. So,
well,
hey,
no. Well,
speaking of,
I'm a different thing because I ain't going nowhere, and I'm already where I'm at, and that's all there is with me.
Well, that's one thing. I'm never going to be predictable. You guys are never going to be able to predict me. Like, I'm never going to be able to say, I wonder what's on Let's Watch a Full-Length Movie on YouTube with Mike Spiegelman and Carl today. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Paul. That was a stellar segue. How you doing?
Good. How are
Mike,
you doing, buddy?
All right, man. We were talking about your kind of stuff earlier, right?
Yeah, Film Noir.
Pino and Gloria Graham.
Oh, well, yeah. She's great. I love both of them.
So there you go. So what do you got going on today's show, man?
Well, if you're listening to MutinyRadio.fm streaming it live, hang out for my show, which is next, or you can follow our podcast at LWAFLMOYT. You'll hear a little bit of us before Paul ends his show. We're watching a full-length movie on YouTube. We're watching Beware, The Blob.
Ooh.
1972, directed by Larry Hagman.
Wow. Wait, hold on. Okay, so wait. You guys have been doing a little bit of Larry Hagman here and there. Is this an homage or what? Okay. So, wait, The Blob. Who's, like, the main character in that?
In what, this movie?
Yeah. Oh, wait. So this isn't the original Blob.
It's the sequel. It's also known as Son of Blob.
Son of Blob. Okay, cool. So... And he's so cute. You guys can't wait. Son of Blob.
It's really fucking awful. So, but it has Del Close in it. It has Godfrey Cambridge in it. And it has Shelley fucking Berman in it.
Shelley Berman from Second Sullivan.
Shelley Berman is so fucking funny in this movie. It's just like I was pissing in my pants. He plays a barber to a 1972 hippie. And just the fucking stuff he was doing... It made it worth it for me, but everything else is awful about this film. Sidney Williams is in it.
Oh, there you go. And I like Shelley Berman, man. He's like the king of improv, so there you go. We're back. But so, don't go away. Don't turn that virtual dial. That's here on Let's Watch a Full-Length Movie on YouTube with Mike Spiegelman and Carl. So, we are back. What else? We were talking about the price of fame. Yeah, okay. So, anyway they want to throw money at me in the beginning, I don't care. as long as I get a little bit of seed money to start one. That's what a lot of people do. So they'll end up making money on something that just pays the bills, right? But then they use that money to invest in what they want to actually, the art that they want to do. Do you find that? I mean, how have you supported your habit of writing over the years, Patrick? I know that you've written 3 books now. How have you supported that habit?
I'd like to write, and that's all, but you got to have side things you're doing, you know.
Right.
And stuff like that. And I've never done anything I was ashamed of.
Well, currently I mow lawns and throw newspapers for money. I'm kidding. But I mean,
yeah.
I pretty much do that. I do whatever I can within my legal rights to make a little bit of seed money. But I'm, you know, I guess I'm a happy starving artist.
Yeah, you're just floating around and you don't have to do anything special. You don't need a title or anything like that. Just as long as you're having a good time, and you are.
Yeah, no, I am. I absolutely am.
You're doing your fucking thing, and that's more important than anything.
No, it's definitely how I express myself is how I be.
And nothing else matters. Nothing, Paul.
No, you're right. You're right. That's it. It's who I am. So I am. I'm very grateful. And we are starting off this year really well. I like it now. It's the
that's
core
good.
Group. Thanks for hanging out with us, Patrick. We like hanging out with you.
Oh, my pleasure.
Send our best back there to everybody. Brandon, tell us how to get a hold of yourself, dude.
Brandon Ray Bumba on Facebook, and also Brandon's modeling page on Facebook.
Cool. There we go. Yeah. And then Mistress Christine.
I would say Mistress Christine on Facebook, but I don't get on Facebook very often. So how about they'd have to get a hold of you, Brandon?
Okay, so just go to the Facebook, go to our Facebook page. It's The Edge of Insanity. You guys know all that stuff. If you don't, rewind this podcast, get all that info at the beginning. And then, Patrick, I know you've got a lot of things in the hopper, but check out one of Patrick's books, or all three of them. They're really easy. You can do it on Amazon. You can do his first novel, which is Highway 23.
Yeah, you can also. That's a fun book to read.
That is good. And then another one is a nice little full of small little anecdotes and neat little things from characters. Speaking of characterizations of people, it's Kien fucking Sabe. I love that book.
Oh, yeah. And then, yeah, just observations. That's good.
Right. And then kind of the follow-up, kind of like let's leave no stone unturned. Let's sew things back together. Let's come back full circle. And it's a little bit of Quinn's Barn Grill.
On Kindle, yes.
On Kindle. So we would love to.
Quinn's Barn Grill, all kinds of writing about guys and people like us.
So check it out. All these things are accessible to you on the Edge of Insanity page, as well as all the respective websites. For myself, the Edge crew, keep standing up, San Francisco and the world. And I'm going to play a little bit of your little brother. Hey, do you have any requests from your brother? What would you want to hear right now? Because I know you probably got his entire catalog. What would you want to hear from your brother?
I enjoy the New York voices are fun.
Okay, gotcha. All right, here's a little bit of New York voices, and we're not going to play it all, but we'll be playing some of it. Yeah. Stay tuned. We'll have Let's Watch a Full-Length Movie here on YouTube. Until then.
Thank you, Patrick. Bye, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
But I never got to do black voices on television. That's what bothered me a little bit. You know, you can do your own group. Myron Cohen can do Jewish guys, and Pat Cooper can do Italians, and blacks can do blacks, and you can do your own group. But crossing over, it's not so good. You know, they want to hear it. They're afraid of letters. Say, I never got to do something that says from the street, man. What's happening? Ain't nothing to it. I'll be here for a while, man. You see that motherfucker, you tell me to come back here, man, because I'm going to be here. You understand? That's some bullshit, too, man. More or less. You understand? Okay. Hey, you tell them that shit, man. Never got, no, guys were always on me. Black guys were always bugging me about my ass because I got no ass, you know. Kind of a straight line from the shoulder to the heels. And black race has a more pronounced ass anyway than, you know, a regular, you've seen that in National Geographic. I noticed it in the service. You know? It's true, man. It's just, anthropologists will tell you that, you know, if you can wake them up at the party, man, and get their attention. It's true, but at any rate, I was always getting kidded about it because there are three kinds of asses, basically. I've numbered them, 1, 2, and C. I was never very good at indexing, but the first one's the fat ass, which you all know, you can't miss it. Even in the winter, in a tweed overcoat at the bus stop, you can see, look at the guy in that tweed overcoat and the fat ass over at the bus stop there. Then there's the regular ass, the everyday normal, garden variety, all-American, run-of-the-mill, you've seen one, you've seen them all ass, just regular ass. And then we have the unfortunates. My group, no ass at all. Just, you wear a fat wallet and three handkerchiefs, right? Man, you walk out. Black guys used to be on me, man. Say, man, where your ass at? My man ain't got no ass. Man, shit, how you holding them pants up, man? I got no ass, man. Shit. Puerto Rican voices was another thing that attracted my ear because I was into, you know, listening to sounds and imitating them. I was a mimic. That was part of being class clown, making fun of all the people around you. And did the priest, did the cops, of course. The cops in New York all had the same voice. The data, you know, generation voice I was talking about. And they have set things that they say at certain times. The guy has a heart attack in the street. Okay, come on, the show's over. Let's go. Come on, man, the show's over. Always call.
These things just took over me. Just took over my whole body.
It's your boy Sifo here to let you know that the 5th annual Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival is March 1st through 7th. 2020 with special podcasts and comedy shows 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. all week. Get your tickets now on Eventbrite. Just search Mutiny Radio and get ready for 76 comics from all over the U.S. coming for 66 programs in 7 days, all here at 2781 21st Street in the heart of the Mission. Or if you can't be with us, listen live or podcast from anywhere in the world at www.mutinyradio.fm. Join us March 1st to 7th for these amazing events.
What kind of a future?
Law Tigers. We fight for motorcyclists. We're not just motorcycle lawyers, we're part of the riding community. Law Tigers watches over riders. If you're injured in a motorcycle accident, we'll help you get your motorcycle repaired or replaced and assist you with your damaged gear, too. We're by your side every step of the way. With the Law Tigers, you never ride alone. If you're injured in a motorcycle accident, call 1-800-LAW-TIGERS or visit us on the web at lawtigers.com. The Law Tigers, California's motorcycle lawyer.
Richard Harris, Harris Law Firm, LLP, 180 Permanent Circle, Suite 300, Sacramento, California, 95834.
San Francisco, Mutiny Radio. San Francisco, Mutiny Radio.
Listen to live streaming radio or download a podcast and you can listen on the go. Listen to live streaming radio or download a podcast and you can listen on the go. San Francisco Mutiny Radio. San Francisco Mutiny Radio.
MutinyRadio.fm.
Why not make a donation?
MutinyRadio.fm.
Streaming live the station.
MutinyRadio.fm.
District of the Mission.
MutinyRadio.fm.
MutinyRadio.fm. Listen to live streaming radio or download a podcast and you can listen on the go. San Francisco Mutiny Radio. San Francisco Mutiny Radio.
Look, why not go to MutinyRadio.fm? Hit the donate button, stream them live, download a podcast, have some fun!
San Francisco Mutiny Radio! San Francisco Mutiny Radio! San Francisco Mutiny Radio! San Francisco Mutiny Radio! San Francisco!
Test, test.
Test, test, 1, 2.
See if we can get
buckle
no feedback. I'm all right. Try again. Keep talking.
Test, test, 1, 2. Mutiny Radio. Check one. Check one.
All right. It's gonna be low, but I don't want to static it. All right. Sounds good. See you in a little bit.
The hoppy brown fox jumped over the hen.
The crazy old fox.
Hey, Carl. What's up?
Hey, sorry.
Happy New Year, brother.
Happy New Year, yeah. I think we talked, you know, prior to last decade, right? And Happy New Year again.
Wow, you are low. That or my hearing's gone.
I'll be with you, girl. Life being slow.
Oh, you're hitting the meters. You're good.
Hey.
Just
hey,
my ears are fogged, I think. Too damn cold over here.
I'm Michael Spiegelman.
And I am Carl Not Spiegelman.
Join us every Sunday, 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on
see if I
MutinyRadio.fm.
Sneak the meter up a little.
Let's watch.
I'm going to move your levels just an inch.
Okay.
You too. All right. We watch the best movies right, that
my head is more in
good?
Level.
Well, they're chosen.
Here's his theme song again.
Hey,
bye.
Here's your theme
okay,
song.
My watch.
Oh, yeah, our ratings are low. You want to talk about it during Paul's show?
I don't really care. I think it's still like 7,000 people a show.
It's
and
about 7,000 people
holidays.
A show. And what holidays? It's Russ never sleeps, man.
Comedy Festival. It's March 1st through the 7th, 2020.
Russ has gotten older.
Podcasts Russ and comedy really. Shows.
Hey, so I'm on this playlist. Let me skip ahead and see if we can get to my promo. I'm like at the end of it. No, that's Pam. I think it's after this. Get Monkey Brains.
Monkey Brains.
Monkey Brains is a local internet provider who doesn't sell your data, bind you down with contracts, or trick you with hidden monthly fees. We're honest, vocal, 100% net neutral. Residential internet for only 30.
Asiento, take a seat.
Oh, it's after this then.
Asiento. Special hat. It wasn't the fault of the place. They're very nice.
Okay, it's the last minute of the promo. See if I'm on this now. We got 1 minute left on this breaker.
El Rio began in 1978 as a leather Brazilian gay bar. We are an LGBTQ plus space who is welcoming to all good people. We actively invest in communities to promote social change. We actively invest in our local arts and music scene to give space for artists. We actively pursue underserved communities in the use of our space. We are an awesome supporter of the 5th annual Mutiny Radio Comedy Festival, hosting an incredible off-site show Wednesday, March 4th, 9 to 11 p.m.
I would like to say that was a first take, but it was a second take. All right, so we got 20 seconds, so let me get the theme song ready.
Okay, I'm maintaining radio silence.
Yeah, all right. Well, you know, 10 seconds. All right, see you on the other side.